All right. Should we start with the sacred plants of old or ancient Europe? In the 60s, I was always told there is no traditional use of hashish in Europe. And because there is no traditional use of hashish in Europe, it should be illegal because Germans cannot deal with this kind of plant material. So I never believed that. And I never believed people told me about hashish, saying it makes you addictive to it, and it takes your motivation to do work, and in the same sentence they always told me, you never get to a job if you have long hair. Just one of these other lies. And I had enough jobs and I never cut my hair. And I never believed in that foolish statement that hashish does not belong to German culture. Well, this was a feeling, so I started smoking dope when I was 12, and that's now for 25 years, and I'm still waiting for the day not to wake up and have any motivation to work or to do anything. When I wrote my dissertation, I smoked a couple of grams every day, and so I found out that the hashish increased my intuitive intelligence quite a bit. So I continued to smoke it, and eventually I started to do research on the history of cannabis. And I always had also the feeling cannabis is healthy. Well, when I was a kid, I was told it's very bad for your health, of course. Then I started a research project, and that was called an ethnomedical investigation into the use of hemp as a remedy. So I looked through the literature of ancient healing systems and healing arts, and looked up the herbal books of old China and Japan, and looked up the Ayurvedic stuff and the folk medicine in Eurasia, and looked up the literature on Africa and around the world. So for a couple of years I collected data on the medicinal use of hemp products. And there were two things I was really amazed. First of all, I was able to find over 130 illnesses which had been medicated with hemp throughout history. So I don't know of any other plant with such a big medical usage as hemp. That was the first surprise, and the second surprise was I always had the idea that hemp is a plant which came from Asia in the beginning and spread over Eurasia and finally reached Europe and so forth. But the oldest evidence for the use of hemp is not found in Asia, it is actually found in Germany. And this was a bud containing seeds. They found in Neolithic caves in East Germany. And these layers are supposed to be 7,000 years old. So I couldn't believe what I found, and it's the evidence is very clear, and it's not written up in high times. It's you know, it's written up in the annual archaeological report of the Archaeological Institute of some German university and stuff like that. So I thought to myself, well, this proves at least that the plant was known to all my ancestors in all over Germany. And that showed me that my intuition as a kid was right, that hashish has something to do with German history and prehistory. And I found a lot of other evidence. For example, in Germany and Switzerland, they discovered tombs, maybe Germanic, maybe Celtic, 2,500 years old. And in these tombs, they always discovered female cannabis flowers and seeds. So at that early time, Germans and Celts already used hemp as a grave good, give it to the deceased. And then sometime later, the whole plant was sacred to Freya. Freya is the Germanic goddess of love. And to me, it occurs very natural to have a sacred plant of the goddess of love, which acts as an aphrodisiac. Maybe you came across this effect too. I think hemp is one of the best aphrodisiacs so far, especially if they are mixed with some other herbal materials. My favorite recipe to use hemp as an aphrodisiac is a smoking mixture. One third hashish or female buds, one third dried datura or henbane leaves, and one third dried Amanita muscaria. That's a very delicious, nice little smoke for tantric practice. I actually call this Shiva Shakti blend. Well, so the German goddess of love is equivalent to Venus, to Aphrodite, and sometimes they are identified, and in the 19th century, Freya was totally identified with Venus. It was very clear that this plant is sacred to Freya because of the effects caused by the same plant. So even in the past few centuries, there had been some rituals preserved among peasants when they went out to harvest hemp. Well, the old Germans used the hemp also for making fiber and used the seeds for food and used the oil for food and for lamps. They used the leaves for food too. You can eat the leaves like spinach. Maybe you know the comic strip of Popeye, who eats the spinach. I think that's a symbol for hemp, actually. So, and they used the bud for medicine, and obviously for ritual purposes. And I think they were basically used as aphrodisiacs because they were sacred to fire. Well, when they had this hemp harvest, the whole community came together, and they sent in some nice, beautiful young ladies, of course. They went to the field, cut some of the stuff, and then they made a fire. So the whole community was smoked with the burning hemp. And then they started to harvest, and it said that the harvest was always very funny and entertaining, and people laughed a lot and made a lot of love in the field and so forth. And some of that is still going on in peasant areas in Germany, but it's basically lost. Well, the hemp plant was used in Germany for 7,000 years and until World War II. And after World War II, when Germany became a colony of the United States, we were not allowed to have hemp growing anywhere. So the whole hemp industry was cut down after World War II, and the knowledge was lost immediately. And in the 60s, when hashish appeared on the scene, nobody realized that hashish is a product of the hemp plant. So that was very bizarre to not to understand that something you want to use comes from a plant which grows next to your house. That was very bizarre, and it took some years for people to understand that hashish is a product of the hemp plant. And even today there is this belief in Germany, well, if you plant German hemp, you can't smoke it. It won't turn you on, because they think German hemp does not contain THC, which is not true at all, because German hemp grows very well, grows very big, gets big buds like this long, sometimes sticky, and very good to get high. Maybe you have heard of what was going on in Germany last year, the decision by the Supreme Court that people with a small amount of hemp can't be prosecuted any longer. And then the next question was, what happens if we plant it? And there is no clue for politicians or for judges, or they just don't know what to do. But the chief of the police department in Hamburg was asked what he will do against the marijuana plant. And his only answer was, aren't these plants neat? So that was his only answer to it. And, well, that sounds good. So now you can see the plant growing in many households and many gardens, and people getting back to it. And because of mine and others' publications, many people realize now that there has been a long history of hemp use in Germany, and they know this was sacred to Freya, and there are many people now back to paganism, so the whole thing turns back now. It's very nice to see. Well, what I forget to tell you is some very interesting story. In the 15th and 16th century, there had been a couple of physicians who wrote and produced large volumes on herbs. And in Germany, we call them the fathers of botany. The fathers of botany. And it's about 8-9 physicians, and they lived more or less at the same time, and they produced big volumes on the use of plants. Very interesting literature. So, and they all have big sections on hemp, and they have lots of different recipes how to use hemp for certain illnesses and so forth. And one guy, Taberne Montanus, there's a plant named after him, Taberne Montana, and I was told this plant contains ibogaine and similar alkaloids. Well, this guy, Taberne Montanus, he was a German physician, and he worked in Basel, the place where Albert Hofmann worked later, and where Paracelsus worked too. And he stated that if women have troubles with their wombs, cramps, and similar ailments, they should inhale the smoke of the female hemp flowers. So this is the very first written statement about the use of marijuana smoke as a medicine. And this is published in the 16th century by a German physician. So we have a lot of other evidence, and I don't want to get into that, but to me it was like a revelation to understand that this plant belongs to my ancestors and belongs to my cultural roots, and therefore I have to worship it and to use it to continue the tradition of the place. Well, that's just one of the sacred plants of ancient Europe. Hemp was, by the way, it was known to the ancient Greeks and Romans, of course, and there was even a philosopher called Democritus. He is known as the laughing philosopher, and he had a special wine. He used marijuana, myrrh, and wine, and put it together and drank it to get high on it. And the Romans had also some confection, some sweets they produced with marijuana inside, and they ate it after dinner to get happy. This was stated by Galen, you know, the very famous Roman doctor and pharmacist, Galen. I don't know how you pronounce him in English. Galen, maybe. And in one place in Greece, in an old temple used for divination, the archaeologists discovered a huge sack full of hashish. So it was very well known in classical antiquity too. And it's very interesting if you look at the literature on the ancient Greek. You never find any hint or statement about the use of psychoactive plants by these people. This 19th century humanistic view and perception of classical antiquity really pictures the ancient Greeks like the very noble man. They were not into this and that. They certainly were not into drugs and so forth. But it's not true. The Greek had a whole pharmacopoeia of psychoactive materials. And it's you can find a lot of reference in all the classical textbooks. For example, in Pliny, you find statements about at least 20 to 30 different psychoactive plants. He even refers to some plants he had never seen, but he heard reports of very strange plants that he stated that they had been used by the Indians in India as drugs to reveal images of gods and goddesses in people. And I mean, the literature is full of that, and it has never been really received. And the same is true for Greek authors like Dioscorides. It's full of psychoactive plants. And I just want to mention the more important psychoactive plants. They all mentioned and. They include henbane. Henbane is Hyoscyamus niger, or another species. There is three or four southern European species of henbane known so far. And they were all talking about opium. Opium was not an invention by the Chinese. It was an invention by the Greek or the pre-Greek people, the Minoans, who lived on Crete Island and on some other islands in the Cyclades. They always mentioned mandrake. Mandrake or mandragora, the man root. And also psychoactive mushrooms were known. The evidence for that is not absolutely clear, but it's clear enough. The Greeks and the Romans were really mycophobe. They were not into mushrooms so much. The Romans ate some of them, but they were always afraid about mushroom poisoning. And poisonous mushrooms had been used in Roman times to get rid of politicians and so forth. But there is some interesting remarks by Pliny on some strange properties of mushrooms. And there are some representations of mushrooms in Greek art also. It's not very well known, but there is enough evidence. For example, if you go to Crete Island and visit the archaeological museum, they have a very beautiful necklace with maybe 20 mushroom effigies hanging on it. Very beautiful. And then there is the story of Mykene. Mykene is a town in on the Argolis, in the Argolis area. And the name Mykene itself means place of the mushroom. And it said that the founder of that city saw a mushroom growing next to a spring. And when he ate the mushroom, he had the vision of the city and he built it. So from this city, a whole strata of cultures swept all over Greece, the Mycenaean civilization. That's about between 2000 and 1000 BC. And there is some interest in mushroom effigies related with gods and goddesses, and there is one painting showing Maenads, you know, these women who were followers of Dionysus, and they were picking mushrooms, and they looked like phalloi, you know, like penises. Actually, the old Greek names phalloi could be used for mushrooms, and the mucos, the mushroom, could be used for penis too. That's a very typical symbolic association in ancient Greece. Well, but there had been some speculations about the use of mushrooms. I don't want to get into that because it's a lot of discussion, and there is one paper I can recommend you to read by Karl Ruck called Philosophers and Mushrooms, or Mushrooms and Philosophers. He's discussing the use of psilocybin mushrooms in ancient Greek. The name of the the author is Ruck, R-U-C-K, Carl. And this is published in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology. Maybe I can find out the reference later. One of the plants I'm really intrigued by is henbane. I don't know if you have ever seen a henbane plant. It's really unique. If you saw it once, you will recognize it always. The English name, henbane, yeah, that's a medieval name. There is many English names having this word bane in it, and it looked like that bane was a poison or a plant to bend something. And hen is a female chicken, so the plant in medieval times in England was used by people to poison chicken. It was actually used by thieves. They went to some place, and where there were chicken, they burned some of the plant, and the chicken just dropped from the place they were sitting unconscious, and so they just gathered them. It was a very easy way to get your food. So that's the meaning of the English name of it. In German, it's called Bilsenkraut. Kraut means plant or shrub. And Bil and Bilsen is the original meaning of that is to imagine, to have a fantasy, a vision. And it's believed that Bilsen comes from Proto-Indo-German Belen, or Bil, to have a vision, to form your thoughts. And I like that German name much better than the English one because it's closer to my approach to this plant. And this plant was used by many different European people. It was used, for example, among the ancient Greeks for divination purposes. I even think it was used, or the fume of it was used in Delphi to induce trance, the trance of the Pythia. Because the Greek name of henbane is Pythion, the plant of the Pythia or of the dragon, the female dragon. And the Pythia was the woman, the seer at Delphi, and she was identified with the female dragon who lived at that place before Apollo, the god Apollo, arrived there.